Thank you for listening to the Streams Church Weekly Sermon Podcast. We are a community that strives to know Jesus and make him known. If you like our podcast, subscribe and leave us a great rating on Apple Podcasts. Thank you, and we hope you enjoy.
Buddy, you can go ahead and grab a seat. You can grab a seat. I'll tell you what, it was just a hot week. Is anybody kind of in? Like, you're ready for summer to end, right? I have a little bit of a confession. This week, I may have started listening to Christmas music just to take the edge off. So don't judge me. You know what? You can buy a Christmas tree at Costco nowadays, okay? Hobby Lobby doesn't count. They pretty much sell Christmas stuff all year round. But anyhow, I'm Sean. It is great to be with you. Don't have a whole lot of announcements today, so I thought I would just dive in. And we do have, the weather's changing, football starting next week, yeah. So if you're a football fan, next week is Jersey Sunday. So you can wear sports team jersey, and, it should be a good time. So I wanted to start off this service just with praying for Hawaii. I know that a lot of people have been affected, and we just want to just take a moment and just, I just love that last song, just like in the midst of, I don't know what to do, I'm struggling, I'm hurting, I need a healing, I need a breakthrough. Lord, what I can give you today is a hallelujah. Yeah. I can give you that you've been faithful. I can give you that you are still in control, that you are still almighty. And so I just want to take a chance, if we could just pray for those who have been affected. God, I pray for those hearts, those people who are in Maui, who've just suffered a complete loss of devastation. God, I pray that you would heal their hearts, that you would bring hope. God, I pray for just a move of your spirit, Lord. You truly are the answer. But Lord, for those who just feel like they've lost everything, that their families, that they've lost loved ones through this, God, would you bring your comfort? God, would you equip your saints to just bring and supply, Lord? And if there's a way that we can help as a church here in Glendale, Arizona, would you give us a contact to be able to help with resources? But right now, we just call upon you, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We pray that you would move mightily in that state, in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Maybe you have a contact in Maui, in that region, and if you do, come and find me. I love to support organizations through relationships. So anyhow, you guys ready?
Let's start.
We're going to be talking about opportunities.
We are in a series in
Colossians. And we've got one more week to go, so we're covering a couple verses in chapter 4. You can go ahead and turn with me there, starting in verse 2. But today we're going to talk about opportunities. That's a big word. I know it seems like life is full of opportunities, and really the core of your story is opportunities that you've taken and choices that you've made. They all culminate to where we are today. And some of you might have had some really good opportunities that you're glad that you took. Maybe it was a move or a job or a relationship or people group. Maybe there's opportunities and choices that you regret making. Like, you know what? Now looking back, I wouldn't have gone on that trip, or I wouldn't have taken that job, or I wouldn't have dated that person. But life is full of opportunities. And this passage talks about some opportunities that we should be mindful of. Maybe it's an opportunity that you've never experienced, but I pray that as God stirs us and speaks to us, that this is an opportunity that we could explore. So we are reading, starting in verse 2 through 6 today. We'll read through this and kind of dig in a little deeper. So it says this, it says, devote yourself to prayer with an alert mind and a thankful heart. Pray for us too that God would give us many opportunities to speak about his mysterious plan concerning Christ. That is why I am here in chains. Pray that I would proclaim this message as clearly as I should. Live wisely among those who are not believers And again, there it is. Make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversations be gracious and attractive so that you will have the right response for everyone. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you for your word, God. I thank you that you are with us, and no matter what's going on in our life, maybe there's here some today with struggles. God, I pray that your word would it bring encouragement, that this would be an opportunity for us to refocus on you and refocus on your word and your initiative that we are to go and to be witnesses for you. In Jesus' name, amen. Verse 2 says, devote yourself to prayer. It says, devote yourself to prayer, being watchful, or maybe a version says alert in prayer with thanksgiving, with a thankful heart. So we have many opportunities to pray. Yesterday I was doing some stuff and I threw out my back and I'm like, ugh. I wish it was like, oh, I was carrying a refrigerator up the stairs, you know, something manly. But I was just hanging window coverings. So definitely not manly, but my back feels it. And I don't know if you've ever thrown out your back, but it's just like, ugh, so painful. We have opportunities to pray. And I appreciate the praying people in this house because truly we want to be a house of prayer. And so I was laying on the couch and I'm just like, it gave me a chance to just pause and to pray. I was praying for some of you guys. I heard this one guy, he was talking about how he really used prayer as an opportunity to avoid temptation. He would deal with lust a lot. And so he'd see a person, and he would have an opportunity to choose right there. Do I go down that path in my mind? And what he did is he pivoted, and he used that opportunity to pray for that person, to bless that person, to, if they didn't know salvation, he would just take a moment and pray for that person. And I thought, what an amazing opportunity to twist that. Because I imagine that temptation was brought there, and I wonder, like, does Satan just like stop tempting him? Because every time he tries to tempt him, he just turns into a prayer for that person. But I thought that was really, really mindful and wise, because we are to be alert, to be watchful for times and opportunities to pray. Now, on the other hand, I also realize like sometimes it just feels hard to pray. We all know that we should, but like after a couple minutes, you just kind of tune out a little bit, or you start thinking about other things. So why is prayer difficult? Why is it hard for us to stay focused in prayer? I think for a lot of us, we have a lot of demands on our life. We're spinning a lot of plates, combined with the fact that the devil does not want us to pray. He is against our prayers. So he will bring distractions like crazy. Distractions is a huge thing for me. I'm like, oh, shoot, I got to do this. I got to get this in the mail. I got to return this Amazon package. Or I got to do just on and on it goes. And in September, I felt compelled to do a series about fighting distractions. So you could come in a, you know, this next month or whatever, and we're going to launch into that. But I feel like there's a lot of responsibilities in our mind that keep us from being focused on prayer. Along with that, I think life has a way of beating us down sometimes. Does anybody feel that sometimes? You're just like, oh, you don't have to raise your hand. I know they're all up anyways, but it's just hard. Like you come home from work or difficult situations, and for me, I just want to veg on the couch. I just want to tune out, or maybe you grab your phone and start looking at that. But I'll tell you, it's hard sometimes to be like, I know what I need right now is spiritual connection to God, but I just feel tired. And I heard this said, and maybe you can relate to this, but like at the end of the day, it's kind of like that lull in your day where it's silent and you start praying, but then you fall asleep, right? I remember when I was a parent and Miles, especially Miles, I'd get him up at night, but I loved it when he would fall asleep in my arms. I love it when he just falls asleep laying on my shoulder. I never got once mad at him for that. And I think like I wonder if that's how Jesus feels. Like, it's probably okay for us to fall asleep talking to him. I bet you he's okay with that. So maybe if that's a shame thing, you can just wipe that away. But the idea is we do, like, don't get me wrong, we do need to be intentional about prayer. But whatever that way looks like, we have a Heavenly Father who loves us and cares for us. I also was very encouraged. In January, there was a church kind of championing this prayer campaign for Phoenix. It's called We Pray All Day. Here's the logo, but it's weprayallday.com. If you haven't gone on this, please do. It's just a prayer initiative for people to pray over Arizona and specifically for Phoenix. So all different churches get together and you just go on and you say, I will pray this 1 hour block for this city. And so you don't need a username or a password. You put in your phone number and they text you as a reminder. But as a church streams, we want to make the 26th of every month, we want to say, hey, look, we want to pray specifically that day. But even if it's outside of the 26th, it's just a really cool opportunity for you to say, hey, I want to pray. And there's a prayer guide that you can download with that as well. So check that out if you haven't done that already. If I'm honest, I think another reason people lose devotion and fervency in prayer is because they feel like maybe their prayers aren't being answered. You know what? I prayed for this person time and time again, but I don't see any answers, or answers come slowly. And I want to say this: God's delay may be his way of working in your life. Maybe you feel discouraged for that family member that you've been praying for, or that healing that you've been believing for but has never happened. And it is easy to get weary, but I believe that God is working in ways that you can't see. And so that's why Paul says, he instructs us, hey, stay alert, stay praying, and remain faithful. Because when we pray and we bring a thankful heart, I love that, because we don't have to be thankful for our circumstance. We don't have to sugarcoat the things in our life that we don't like. But we can be thankful knowing that God is faithful, that he's rich in love, he's rich in mercy. Great is his faithfulness. So we can say, hey, I know these struggles are bigger than what I can handle, but I know that, Lord, you can help, and I lean on you for direction and for wisdom. Bill Johnson said an interesting quote. He said, complaining elevates a problem to where it has greater influence than faith. If I come into God's presence and pray, but I leave the same, it probably wasn't praying, I was just complaining. Real prayer involves an exchange that leads us into faith. And I think that posture of being thankful and not complaining, to be, you know, God sees your struggle. And it's okay to talk to him about that, but it's also great to have a level of thankfulness, knowing that, you know what, you've never failed me. God, you have never failed me. And the challenges that I'm facing now, I know your faithfulness will guide me. So tough times is an opportunity to pray and to build faith. And I think there's a level that God enjoys us going to him for help. He tells us to. I had a friend in Minnesota, and he started this tree company, it was tree trimming. Is it an arborist? Is that what it is? Is that arborist? Okay. So he gets his son to help in this company as well, and his son's moved out of the house. He's married now, but he was complaining, and there's maybe people here that can relate to this, but his son never goes to him for help. Like, something breaks in the house or whatever, or he needs help with job, he'll easily turn into Googling it or looking at YouTube to try to find the answer, as opposed to going to his dad. And his dad's, you know, really street smart, and he's like, I could have given him that answer. And I wonder, like, you know what, instead of us trying to solve all problems, let's just go to God first and say, Lord, is there a lesson that you're trying to teach me? Because I feel like he does really love when we go to him for help. And maybe there's somebody here who needs this, but Proverbs 28:7 says that God is our helper. Just think about that one second. God is our helper in opportunities and choices we face. In times we need him, he is our helper. Continuing on in verse 3, it talks even more about opportunities. Paul's saying, pray for us too that God would give us many opportunities to do what? He's saying, pray for opportunities so that we could speak about his mysterious plan concerning Christ. And that's why I'm here in chains. So let me probe a little bit. Can I pick at you a little bit? When's the last time that you prayed for an opportunity to share your faith? When's the last time you prayed, God, send me somebody who I can tell them about Jesus or invite them to church? We had an opportunity just right down the street here at El Mirage. There's a big apartment complex called Marabella. I think they've changed the name, but that's actually how we found this church. We were the event coordinators of that apartment complex. So it was a faith-based group, and we would do pool parties, we'd do newsletters and connecting people. So it had a chance for community to be built in that residence, and by doing so, people would renew their lease and their profitability for the apartment complex would go up. But on the other hand, there was a faith-based component to it. So we were really kind of like missionaries. And so every month, we would have to fill out a report, and we'd have kind of like a sales quota. Like, I hate using that word, but there was a quota that said, hey, look, every month, you need to have interactions about your faith. And so you would actually log it, and you'd be very intentional in knowing people's names. And so they were kind of like little faith flags that you throw out. Like, oh, hey, you know, you're new to town. Do you go to church? Or, you know, you hear about something and you say, hey, look, I'm going to be praying for you about that. All of those would be little faith flags that you'd throw out. And so I would be very mindful. It was like kind of a change in my psyche because I would be looking for opportunities to share my faith because that was part of my job. And we did it for almost 3 years or so. But at the end of it, I kept that mentality. I wasn't like, oh my gosh, I'm so glad I'd never have to do that again. No, I kind of kept that philosophy and that mindset to where I am looking for people to share my faith to. Because I truly believe that Jesus is the best answer for what's going on in the world today. And it's such an important message that it needs to be shared. I was even at the bank this last week, and I was irritated because I got there early to make a deposit through the ATM, but my card didn't work. So I'm like, ah, crap, I gotta, you know, go back again. And so I did a couple errands, and the lady said, oh, hey, how was your day? And you know what we always say, oh, it's good, it's fine, how are you? But I said, you know what? I said, my day's been interesting. And I said, honestly, I have more on my prayer list today than I did yesterday. Like, that's how my day's been. If you really want my answer, that's how my day's been. And she said something like, well, you know, God's got a way of working it all out or something like that. And so I probed a little bit and I said, oh, what church you go to? And she kind of, you know, shared her story, how she doesn't really go to church a whole lot, but her neighbor's a pastor and they probably should be going more. And I didn't say anything, but at the end I just said, hey, look, I'll be praying for you on Sunday. I hope it works out. And like, that's just a chance for us to encourage, to point people to Jesus. Because man, in a world that we live in today, people really do need the hope of Jesus. So maybe this is for you, but here's a couple questions and I'll just share kind of some questions that I like to use when I'm out and about. But a great question to ask is, hey, where do you go to church? It just brings up, hey, maybe they're Christian, maybe they're a different faith or whatever, but it brings up that topic. Another question is, have you ever heard the good news? I think as Christians, in my mind, I feel like everybody knows the story of Jesus, how he loved us, how he died on the cross to save us from our sin, that we don't have to carry shame and bitterness and unforgiveness, that he forgives us so that we can forgive others. Have you ever shared the good news? Or who is Jesus to you? Or this is a good one. Have you ever wondered what the Bible says about who will go to heaven? Like, that's a very interesting question. Or have you ever wondered why I go to church? Maybe you're in a job field where people invite you to go out here or get some drinks or whatever, and they're just like, no, I'm not going to do that. Or they know you go to church, and so you have a relationship. Have you ever asked them, like, are you ever curious on why I go to church or why I believe the way I believe? It could be a chance and an opportunity for you to take to share your faith. And it might be scary to do these things, but I feel like you probably don't need a class to be able to share your faith. Because so many of us are good at answering questions like, what brought you to Phoenix? Or how did you get started in this job? Or why did you, how did you guys meet? During people, casual conversations like that, you don't have to rehearse your answers. So when it comes to our faith, why are we so apprehensive about sharing that? I think it is wise for us to know what to say, because a lot of us are socially cognizant of the situation. Like, if somebody says, hey, how did you end up in Phoenix? You're probably not going to give them a 20-minute version of why you landed in Phoenix. And so in our faith, like, I have a 30-second, one-minute answer on what God's done in my life. But I also have a longer version, too, to where if the situation dictates, I can share my faith. And here's what's great about sharing your story and your faith. Even if somebody has watched a documentary on, secrets of the scriptures revealed, and they have some questions, or they just are like against certain, preachers or whatever it is. See, if you share your story, they can't say, I doubt it. I don't believe you. Because it's your story. It's what God's done in your life. It's your testimony. That's not offensive. There's no conflict in that because it's your story. And so when Colossians, it says in verse 5, it says, live wisely among those who are not believers. And again, it says, make the most of every opportunity. I hope this message just tunes you into, I have opportunities to share the love of Jesus. I have opportunities to encourage people. And I might be scared a little bit, but God's going to help you through it. Here's an interesting video that I came across, and it's a little long. It's like 5 minutes. But Penn and Teller, he's a really famous magician, and he's an atheist. But he shares a story about how somebody gave him a Bible. And I just want you to see this reaction and this response, because I think it's really interesting. So, Tony, if you want to roll that video.
To talk to you about this, I can open the show, and at the end of the show, as I've mentioned before, we go out and we talk to folks and sign an occasional autograph and shake hands and so on. And there was one guy waiting over to the side in the what I call the hover position after I was all done, big guy, probably about my age. Big guy. And he had been the guy who has picks the joke during our psychic comedian section of the show. So he had the props from that in his hand, because we give those away. He had the joke book and the envelope and the paper and stuff. If you haven't seen the live show, it's not worth explaining. But he had props from the show that we'd given him from the night before. He wasn't the guy that night. And he walked over to me and he said, I was here last night at the show, and I saw the show and I liked it. And he was very complimentary about my use of language and complimentary about, honesty and stuff. He said nice stuff. No reason to go into it. He said nice stuff. And then he said, I brought this for you. And he handed me a Gideon Pocket Edition. I thought it said from the New Testament, but I also thought it was Psalms from the New Testament, right? Psalms from the New, just part of the New Testament. Little book about this big, this thick, He said, I wrote in the front of it, and I wanted you to have this. I'm kind of proselytizing. I mean, he said, I'm a businessman. I'm sane. I'm not crazy. And he looked me right in the eye and did all of this. And it was really wonderful. I believe he knew that I was an atheist. But he was not defensive, and he looked me right in the eyes. And he was truly complimentary. It wasn't in any way, it didn't seem like empty flattery. He was really kind and nice and sane and looked me in the eyes and talked to me and then gave me this Bible. And I've always said, you know, that I don't respect people who don't proselytize. I don't respect that at all. If you believe that there's a heaven and hell and people could be going to hell or not getting eternal life or whatever, and you think that, well, it's not really worth telling them this because it would make it socially awkward. And atheists who think that people shouldn't proselytize, just leave me alone, keep your religion to yourself. How much do you have to hate somebody to not proselytize? How much do you have to hate somebody to believe that everlasting life is possible and not tell them that? I mean, if I believed, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that a truck was coming at you and you didn't believe it, that truck was bearing down on you, there's a certain point where I tackle you. And this is more important than that. And I've always thought that, and I've written about that, and I've thought of it conceptually. This guy was a really good guy. He was polite and honest and sane, and he cared enough about me to proselytize and give me a Bible, which had written in it a little note to me, not very personal, but just, you know, liked your show and so on, and then like five phone numbers for him and an email address if I wanted to get in touch. Now, I know there's no God, and one polite person living his life right doesn't change that. But I'll tell you, he was a very, very, very good man. And that's really important. And with that kind of goodness, it's okay to have that deep of a disagreement. I still think that religion does a lot of bad stuff, but man, that was a good man who gave me that book. That's all I wanted to say.
That's interesting to me. That is really interesting to me. I think some of us feel like people don't want to hear about religion. They don't want to hear about God. But what a statement. What a statement from an atheist who says, you know what? If you believe, if you're convinced that God is real and that there's a heaven and a hell, how much do you have to hate somebody to not tell them this message? Like, he gets it. There's a respect there. And I think that I am thankful for the people who have invited me to church. I'm thankful for those who talk to Jesus about me. I'm thankful for that in my life. What's God telling you to do? What's God telling you to share? Maybe there's a person right now that you can think of who you need to be praying for an opportunity to share your faith, or just an encouraging word. Maybe you need to text somebody. I don't know what God's saying to you. But we are his hands and feet. He delights in using us to spread the good news. And I will say, as your pastor, I am so proud of you. Because this church, you guys get it. You guys really do live your faith beyond Sunday. This is not a religion that you just check in and check out on a Sunday morning for a couple hours. I hear stories about how you're seeing needs and you're meeting needs and you're really, really living your faith. I get it. And I'm so proud to be your pastor. And I just say, you know what, keep going, because it does truly make a difference. There's some stats that talk about why we don't share our faith. And I'll say, you know what, people aren't mad if you offer to pray with them. I was at a garage sale, and this lady was just talking about how she was dealing with another surgery that was coming up. So she had one. It didn't really go well, and she was anxious and nervous about another surgery. And I just said, you know what? This might be a little weird, but do you believe in the power of prayer? And she said, oh, yeah. I says, you want me to pray for you right now? And she was, like, stunned in the most wonderful way. She was like, I would love that. And so right in the middle of this garage sale, I just took a moment to pray with her. You have no idea what that might mean to her. I imagine that that was one of the highlights of her day or maybe even week. But on the flip side, it was a highlight of my week as well. Like when you are put in a position where you can just reach out with the love of Jesus, that's an exciting, exciting feeling. So yeah, maybe you say, hey, I go to a really great church. If you want to come, like, I'll save a seat for you. And we all know why we come to church. It's because of those delicious snacks outside, right? Like, we have a great snack game. They're like grandma-level goodies, right? They're not store-bought. So shout out to Jenny for doing those, and Jeff and Kathy for making the coffee and putting them out. And also Ava and Danielle. Ava is bringing some game with the snacks. She makes those, like, homemade Reese's Pieces things, like the chocolate and the peanut butter. If you haven't tried it, I'm telling you, maybe that's your leverage to be like, just come for the snacks at least. Come check out the church for snacks. They're free. It's great. But this is an important message to share. So Lifeway Research did some stats, and they said that 43% of people do feel a personal responsibility to share their religious beliefs about Christ with non-Christians. Yet, on the flip side, only 10% have shared their faith with a person in the last 6 months. Only 10%. 59% haven't invited anyone to church in the last 6 months. So, I mean, I'm just curious right now, just a little experiment. I'm not going to embarrass you or anything like that. But in the last 6 months, has anybody been invited to church? Not including, like, our group, but either somebody offered to pray with you, you've been invited to church, or they just talk to you about Jesus in general. So one of those three things. Anybody here outside of the circle of streams that's happened to just in your normal day life in the last 6 months? Anybody? All right. Maybe, yeah, 10 or so. It doesn't happen very often. It doesn't happen very often. And so when God stirs you to do something like that, you know, pray for boldness to share your story. Share what God's done in your life with that. There's another graph here I'll show you. It says that 22% of people don't feel comfortable in sharing their faith because of fear. Some other reasons were they were too busy or maybe think that they're going to, you know, be rejected or anything like that. But Colossians 4:4, it says, hey, pray that I will proclaim this message. Paul's saying, you know what? I probably deal with those things too. He probably dealt with some of those things as well. But my prayer for you is that, you know what? We would have the boldness to proclaim the message as clearly as we should. And I will say, hey, I invite you to pray for me as well. As we pastor this church and the leaders, the elders, some good news, we brought on two new elders. So Mike Verbonzi and Alan Ramey have joined the elder team. Be praying for our elders. Be praying for Paul Greer, Paul Michelson, for Tony Gardner. We have a wonderful board of elders. I love this church because there's no drama. We get along. We really like each other. It's really, really wonderful. But there are some wonderful, we need your prayers, is what I'm saying. Pray for our staff, our families, our leaders of small groups, and even, you know, Jeremy and Catherine, as they host and facilitate AA and Al-Anon here at the church every Friday night. Like, we are seeing God do amazing, amazing things. Keep living your faith beyond Sunday. Keep being a light to a world who needs it. So shout out to all of you who make opportunities to share your faith. And the last scripture that we'll talk about is verse 6. It says, let your conversation be gracious and attractive so that you will have the right response for everyone. I believe that people are looking for understanding, and they're looking for empathy and belonging. And if Streams, if the Church of Christ can share Jesus in a way that honors those needs, more meaningful conversations and connections will happen. The worship band can, worship team can come up as we close, but I wonder what God's asking you, because it can be simple. It can be like, hey, what are you doing? You know, like Christmas is coming. What are you doing for Christmas? Our church is having some services. You're welcome to come. I'll save you a seat. Or, hey, it seems like you're struggling. Like, I would love to pray with you. Or if you feel comfortable, you can join me at my church. But what if it was just as simple as that? What if it was as simple as, hey, you know what? I'm going to be praying for you. I know it sounds like it's going through a lot. But I pray that you would take an opportunity to make the most of every situation, because your story is unique and God's put you with people who you can have influence with. Let's go ahead and pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word. And Lord, I thank you for what you're doing in Streams Church. And God, I thank you that your love is so beyond our works and our efforts, that you love us no matter what. But Lord, I pray for those who maybe who want to get involved in sharing their faith or have a heart for a person or a people group. I pray that you would give them opportunity to be a witness in that circle. In Jesus' name. Let's go ahead and stand as we close in prayer or praise.